Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back to our number two of Leading Edge Medicine. And I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon.
And before we take our first caller for this segment, I'm going to tell another quick family story just for the heck of it.
Okay.
And this is because you heard me talking about earlier about, you know, my daughter and...
Was it on this show or was it on the last show?
I think it was this show.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. Okay. But she, you know, but the fact that she's having to...
No.
No. Last show?
It was the last show. So you know what? Let's save that story.
Okay.
So that you can share that, the whole thing.
Okay.
Yes, because I think it was the last show that we were talking about that.
All right.
And we don't want to miss a piece.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to take a phone call real quick. Jeanette, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. How can we help?
Well, thank you. And I want to say that your conversations in between calls is so wonderful. And I just enjoy you so much. I've been listening to you for years. And the conversations in between are helpful and gratifying. And I hope you all have a happy Easter before
you go.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm sure we will.
Thank you so much. So,
how can we help you today?
I have osteopenia of, I know, the left hip. And I've been arguing with my primary care doctor. She's insisting that I take Clozamax. Mm-hmm. And I had an infusion from an endocrinologist in 2021 of Clozamax. Mm-hmm. I did it once, and I'm supposed to do it three times, so one each following year. But I didn't like it. And my doctor will not listen to any other practical things other than the Clozamax. She just insists that this is something I should have. Do you have any thoughts or ideas other than Clozamax? And
yes,
she will not give me any hormone therapy. I have a pacemaker. She thinks I'm going to have a stroke.
Why doesn't she want to lower your risk of stroke?
Because she probably is doing what the insurance companies tell her to do.
Pretty much.
That's the only answer.
Well, yeah. When women took estrogen orally, it did raise the risk of blood clots in the legs. Okay.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
But estrogen taken across the skin trickles in slowly, does not overwhelm the clotting cascade, and does not, unless you're using very, very high doses, does not increase your risk of clots. And here's the fascinating thing. The Women's Health Initiative study that looked at 60-some thousand women for several years found that women even taking oral estrogens, which is the worst kind, it increased the risk of blood clots in their legs, but there was no increased risk of stroke. None, which I thought was kind of fascinating. So, yes, it increased the risk of blood clots, but not necessarily strokes. But if you do it the other way, and if your hormone therapy is dominant with testosterone instead of estradiol, you actually lower your risk of cardiovascular events and strokes. The fact is you cut cardiovascular events in half. So... I disagree with your physician. As far as the bisphosphonates, like Fosamax, they make bone harder. And so the, the outer cortex of the bone gets very hard, and so it doesn't break as easily. But if it breaks, it doesn't heal as well because it's not natural bone. You're actually adding things to that bone matrix other than the calcium and the phosphate that belong there. I prefer natural bone as opposed to artificially hardened bone.
That's my argument.
Yeah, and that's why I use both testosterone and estradiol. The estradiol slows the loss of bone. The testosterone stimulates the growth of new bone. Okay. The osteoblast that makes bone is stimulated by the testosterone. The osteoclast that dissolves bone is inhibited by the estrogens. And so we use both with our women, and we have a lot of women who over the years, we actually see their bone scans getting thicker and denser and harder and stronger. They don't, as the years go by, our ladies don't get weaker. They get stronger and stronger bones.
We also recommend weight-bearing activities with that. And so if they follow a diet regimen with the weight-bearing activities and with the hormonal therapy and we catch them at osteopenia, which is what you said, it is possible to reverse that without using the drugs. And the drugs do carry their side effects. And
they do.
We understand some people need them, but not everybody does.
That's right. And again, if I get a choice between a natural bone and an artificially hardened bone that then doesn't heal so well if it does break, I prefer the natural.
Okay. I guess the bottom line is I've got to find a different primary care doctor.
Or you could become a patient at Longevity.
Yes, come here, Jeanette.
I would love to. I saw you early on at Caroline Point in 92, 93. I'm 83 years old. My whole income has changed. So I'm I'm living very frugally.
I understand.
I'm not saying poor mouth, but I'd be there in a heartbeat. If I buy a lottery ticket and win, I'd be there in a heartbeat.
Well, then invest $1 a week in the lottery. We'd love to have you as a patient.
So there's, I do walk daily. I do 8,000 to 10,000 steps a day.
Very good.
I'm not out there jogging. I'm not in my 30s anymore.
Nope.
But, so there's not really any other form I could take.
Well, I mean, there are other drugs other than the Fosamax, and there are some now it's the same general principle.
It's
you're altering the metabolism.
Yeah,
there's one that you take an injection every 6 months.
That was the infusion I took, on Fosamax. I said it was supposed to be a yearly thing. How maddening. Okay. Well, I've got to find a doctor within my insurance company.
All right. And listen, if your doctor wants to see copies of some of the papers that we use, we're always happy to share information with our colleagues. I mean, I've got a file with thousands and thousands of medical journal articles. And I use them for teaching our doctors and keeping them up to date. But I'm always willing to share with a colleague, and I don't charge them or anything for it. I just send them the papers.
I just thought about talking to my cardiologist. I mean, her main concern was a stroke.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen anything on that. I've looked around, but when you Google or look on the web, that's just, some information's good, some information, you don't bother to read.
Yep.
Okay. I think I'll send a note to my cardiologist, ask him about it. Mm. Also, if she's going to be, feels very uncomfortable about this, then I'll just seek out somebody with the same philosophy that you have at this point.
There are doctors for every patient and patients for every doctor. So,
That's so true. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
I call you quite often, but I so appreciate your input. And I do listen to what you tell others. So thank you and have a wonderful holiday. Oh, and your birthday's coming up, so happy birthday.
Love that.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Jeanette.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for your call.
All right. You're tuned into Leading Edge Medicine, and here is the number that you can get through so you can talk to the doctors, 206-421-5757. Headed to Buckley, Charlie is on the line for us. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, everyone. Happy Easter weekend.
Woohoo! Hey. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
I called a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to you, Dr. Nixon, and I was concerning my wife, and I was wondering, well, if she has dementia or whatever and all that. And meantime, she went to the doctor, her doctor, and she gave her a little bit of a test, asked her to, you know, spell the world
backwards.
The name world backwards, right? Yeah. And what year it was. And, well, she missed a couple out of six, right?
Okay.
The thing is, she says, you know, that's pretty normal for 83 and a half. So the thing is, I think you mentioned if she could maybe get a referral to a neurologist. Is that the term, a neurologist?
Neurologist or a neuropsychiatrist, either one.
Neurologist.
But neurologist is the place I'd start. And and they can do a more comprehensive evaluation.
And the other one, you said the neuropsychologist?
Neuropsychiatrist. These are basically doctors that of psychiatry who base their thing rather than on Freudian or Jungarian talk therapy. They're actually concerned with the way the brain works and brain physiology. And if you have somebody that has behavioral problems or that sort of thing, I find that a neuropsychiatrist, I have a lot more faith in than someone who believes that all your problems grow out of, you know, conflict with your mother when you were two. Mm. So.
Exactly. Well, no, my wife's laughing about that.
I heard that laugh.
I heard that, yes.
Yeah. You know, she loved her mother, but she really did like her, kind of like, the same token with me, too.
Well, I hope she likes you.
That's right. Well, thank you for the call. Listen, I'm gonna go in and tell a little story when we get back that apparently I told part of in the last show, but I'm going to add part this time that did not get told in the last show.
Love that. We're going to hear about Dr. Mixon's daughter, Ivory.
And my wife, Bendine.
That's right. And we're going to talk to Joel. And let's see, we're going to talk to Elizabeth as well. Stay right there. Leading Edge Medicine continues right after this break. We're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette. So happy to be here with you on this beautiful weekend. Dr. Samira Umat here and Dr. Jerry Mixon with a big smile and a really sweet story to share.
Well, I have a little daughter named Ivory who was born when I was 65 years old. And she is somewhat precocious. She's 11 years old in the sixth grade. She reads at a college graduate level.
Wow.
And so she churns through adult books at a furious rate, which causes problems for daddy from time to time because, you know, when she was 9 and 10, she'd read an adult book with adult themes. Ask me, why do men and women want to do that?
Aha. Okay.
Uncomfortable for daddy with a 9 and 10-year-old. But she reads and writes essays once more at a college level. And so she was She did an essay early in the school year when she just first started the sixth grade, and was accused by the teacher of using ChatGPT because it was not the sort of essay that a sixth grader is supposed to be writing. It was far, far too good. And I had to send a little email note to the teacher and tell her, no, 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 I watched her write this. This is not ChatGPT. This is my daughter. You'll get to know her. But I retook that admonition, that accusation of using ChatGPT. So when she writes papers now, if the paper is on a complex subject, she tries to dumb it down so she won't be accused of cheating. Now, she wrote a recent paper this past weekend on the cell and the cell structure and function. And she talked about the inner and outer membranes of the cell. She talked about the mitochondria and the bivalent two membranes of, and what is through one and what goes through the other, and the Golgi apparatus and the endothelial reticulum.
Wow!
You know, so and she did a wonderful job. This kid at 11 was writing a paper that contained things I didn't learn about until medical school.
Wow.
All right, so she is way up there. So she looked at it and she said, I think this is going to set off alarms. So she said, I'm going to run it through a ChatGPT detector. Apparently there are programs that now detect whether it's ChatGPT.
Wow. Okay.
And it came back and said 100% ChatGPT. So she said, I've got to dumb this down. So she dumbed it down a bit. She ran it through again. It said 70% ChatGPT.
Oh.
And I said, sweetheart, you should not be dumbing down your papers so your teachers can understand them. You know, you are smarter than the vast majority of America. You know more. You should just be you. Write it the way you want it written. And don't worry about making it simple for your teachers. So I took the paper upstairs and let Bandine read it. Now, it was a chore for Bandine because Bandine is not from America. She reads Szechuanese, Mandarin, Swedish, Norwegian, and English, this being her fifth language. The medical terminology kind of hit her hard. But she got about halfway through, and she looked over at me. She said, this little girl deserves respect. She is really smart. So she got up. She went downstairs, bowed to our daughter, and said, Ivory, I bow to you because you are brilliant and you deserve our respect. Mm. Now, that shows the humility of my wife.
You know? Indeed.
But I suspect our daughter is probably going to remember that gesture for the rest of her life.
That's empowering.
It really is. And, you know, she's taught her something that she will take with her and use it in different aspects of her life with her children, her family, her dad, you know. And so those are just lifelong lessons. You can't teach somebody that. You just either know it or you miss the opportunity.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh. So,
you know, but I mean, this is the, you know, the woman that I married and adore.
Yeah.
You know, she is brilliant in her own right, far better with people than I have ever dreamed of being, but is humble and intensely concerned about family.
Yeah. So. And those are admirable qualities. And on this weekend where we are talking about gratitude, something that we should all maybe reflect on a little bit and say, what are we grateful for in our life? And we all have plenty to be grateful for in our lives.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Very nice story, Dr. Mason.
Yes. Thank you.
Touches the heart.
I love the little peeks behind the curtain that you give us of your life. Not just a doctor, not just problem solvers, both of you. We love hearing about, you know, your kids graduating from college last month. Dr. UMass.
Excuse me. Graduated from Cambridge.
Cambridge. That's
not
right.
Not just a college.
Thank you for that, Dr. Mixon. Yes. Oh, we're so glad to be able to do this. Leading Edge Medicine, thank you for tuning in. We're going to take some more phone calls. We are headed to Issaquah right now with Joel on the line. Hi, Joel.
Hello, Joel.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
So I've got a question for you, doctor. Well, first of all, such a great story regarding your 11-year-old coach's daughter. What a jewel she really is.
Yeah, she is. She is.
Hello?
Yeah. Hello? Hello? Yep, you're here. But yeah, she is also a fierce epee fencer, too.
There you go. Woohoo!
Sounds like you're in trouble then.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Great story, by the way. And also, happy Easter to all of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
My question is this. You mentioned a test earlier that I only heard the latter part of it. It's a more of a significant test for heart disease, stroke, blood pressure, and other issues like that. Can you tell me the name of that again?
Well,
the cardiac inflammatory panel?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a test we do on our patients that we suspect might have cardiac risks.
Yeah.
And we don't just measure their cholesterol, LDL and HDL and so on. We actually go through and fractionate the LDL into three subfractions and the HDL into three subfractions. And then we look at both genetic and other non-cholesterol risk factors for heart attacks and strokes. And then we go through and look at chemicals like myeloperoxidase that are released from plaque. You know, you form plaque down in your arteries years or decades before it actually ruptures and causes a heart attack or stroke. And we actually now know that this plaque, as it's aging, starts kicking out different chemicals as it gets closer and closer to actually rupturing and causing a potentially fatal event. So we are actually then measuring the chemicals released by the plaque as it's maturing and getting more and more inflamed over the years. So we try to give you a warning that you're now getting close to having a serious issue. And then we also measure your omega-3s and your omega-6 fats in your bloodstream, because the omega-6 are pro-inflammatory, your omega-3s are anti-inflammatory. So when we're looking at lab work to see whose cholesterol may give them trouble, the test that we are doing is far, far more complex and detailed than just checking your cholesterol.
That answers a couple of my other questions. Thanks. That is.
And so we're doing this especially on May 9th in our clinic for anybody.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't
at all three clinics.
All three clinics.
You don't have to be. This test gets done for our patients at any time, but on May 9th we're going to open it up and we're going to do this test for anybody who wants it. If you had to make an appointment, because we only have certain capacity. But on May 9th, if you want to come in, it's $300. We will do this test for any of our listeners.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. I'll make an appointment for that. Thank you so much for saying that again.
Yeah, and then the last thing I'll add is if you do decide to become a patient after this, then the $300 for this test will be rolled into your fees, so the test will be for free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. So I've got another question for you. I'm currently under care by a local hospital. I had a TIA a couple of years ago, and also a severe scarring for the esophagus, which I've been given omeprazole, 20 milligrams.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any connection between omeprazole and dementia that you know of?
Yes. Of course there is.
Yeah. Sure. Yes, absolutely. I know that's not what you wanted to hear. You wanted to hear her say, no problem at all. No.
No, I've been reading about that too. So, great.
Yeah. But it's good that you find out now, right?
Yes.
It's
the bottom of the hour. We've got to take a break, but we'll be back and we'll chat about this with you a little more when we come back, okay?
Yep. Joel, stay right there and we'll talk about all sorts of things here. Scarring on his esophagus and the omeprazole and possible dementia and the correlation between that, right?
Yep.
We'll find out about that if you've been reading about that, too. It's good. I like that people are reading the backs of and those big, long lists of what this can cause. That's what this show is about. You've got questions. We have doctors that want to answer on Leading Edge Medicine. 206-421-5757. Joel, you stay right there. We'll answer your questions. Elizabeth and Don, you're on deck next. Stay right here and tune in to Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be back. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time. And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. I'm Lynette. Here with Drs. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. And we have Joel on the line from Issaquah wanting to know about the omeprazole that he's taking for his, is it reflux or esophagus?
Reflux, yeah.
And
yeah.
Dementia.
Yeah.
He had read about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, omeprazole turns off your stomach acid. And unfortunately, stomach acid has a real purpose, all right? It's supposed to be there. And the problem we get as we get older is we make less and less of it as we get old anyway. But when you shut it down with omeprazole, you don't absorb any of the B vitamins as efficiently as you used to. So you can it's very easy to get B vitamin deficiencies. Mm. Also calcium, wow. Magnesium, potassium, all the charged ions don't get absorbed well if they're not in an acid environment. And so, you know, all B vitamins, magnesium, calcium, potassium, you get short on all of those things. And so low B vitamins are famous for causing neuropathies of various sorts, numb hands or numb feet, fuzzy thinking, memory issues, and so on, caused by low B levels. So if you're taking an omeprazole, you should be checking your B vitamins on a regular basis. You should also be checking your iron stores because you don't absorb iron well without the acid. The other thing is that the omeprazole works by changing the electron flow in and out of the cells, okay, so that the calcium, magnesium that are supposed to flow one way and then the other for the cell to be able to function and send messages to surrounding cells, that's critically important also for nerves connecting with other nerves. And when we start interfering with the electron flow of the brain cells, then we are altering the way our brains work, and we can indeed end up with cognitive issues.
Wow.
So both based on the vitamin B deficiency and on the direct impact of the long-term impact of the interfering with the cell membrane.
Mm. Omeprazole was designed for short-term use.
Yes.
Ah,
and unfortunately, okay. What happens is that people keep using it because it works. Mm-hmm. They don't feel the pain. So they keep taking it, and then they keep taking it indefinitely, and then the problems just kind of multiply for them.
Yeah. The studies saying that omeprazole was...
Yeah,
the studies that said omeprazole was safe were 3 months long. So...
Okay.
But not 3 years.
Yeah.
Not 30 years.
Okay.
3 months. All right. 1/4 of 1 year.
This goes along with one of Dr. Mixon's rules. Anything strong enough to
help also hurts. Yeah. Uh-huh. There's trade-offs for every decision we make in medicine. And, you know, if it does this, what else does it do? And mm-hmm. You should always be looking at the possible adverse effects and at the mechanisms of action of the medicines you're taking.
Are there any alternatives to
meprazole? Well, oddly enough, and it depends on the person, but a lot of older people, we can stop their reflux with testosterone, especially older men, because the diaphragm, that thing that separates your chest from your abdomen, it's that long, thin muscle that runs all the way across, and you've got a little hole in that diaphragm that lets the esophagus, the food tube, go down from your mouth into the stomach. And as we age, that diaphragm gets weaker and thinner along with every other muscle in our body. If you're born with a little bit more generous opening than the average person, as that diaphragm gets weaker and thinner, that opening gets bigger and bigger, and it allows food to reflux up from the stomach back up the esophagus. Okay. Now, if this was a problem with you young, you probably started off with a bit of a weakness there, because that diaphragm actually makes up part of the valve that keeps the food from coming back. So I found that through the years that by just raising a man's testosterone level to a robust, youthful level, that diaphragm, along with every other muscle in his body, gets stronger and makes a more efficient valve so they don't reflux as much.
Wow.
The other thing that I have guys do is lose weight. Okay. Every pound of fat you put on your belly, you're putting about another pound of fat inside your belly. And there's only so much room in there. You know, things can't stretch backwards because you've got your spine and those great big paravertebral muscles and stuff. In front, you've got your rectus abdominis muscles and your lateralis muscles, but those muscles only stretch so far. And as you put more and more fat inside your belly, those muscles can only stretch out so far, and now they just get rigid. And what you're doing is you're building up higher and higher pressure inside your abdomen. And that increased intra-abdominal pressure is pushing the food back up and out and giving you the reflux. So the combination of a weak...
Yes. What are the numbers for a youthful testosterone? I'm curious.
Well, I'm mostly interested in the free testosterone. So I'm usually shooting for a free testosterone in the range of 150 to 180. Total testosterone to get there is usually in the range of 800, 900 sort of range.
Okay.
That's in nanograms per deciliter. So.
So one other, I was, I think I mentioned I had a mini stroke, a TIA, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, they uncovered all kinds of heart issues, which I'll make an appointment to come and see you regarding those. But I'm given two medications for to treat that for heart failure, carvedilol, 3.1 milligrams, and lisinopril, 2.5. How do those interact with omeprazole or anyway?
I don't
can you
know.
Talk about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to look at a drug interaction sheet.
Yeah.
There are because of possible drug interactions between the 1,000 or so medications on the market. And most people by 70s are on 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 and trying to figure out what will react with what combination of what else is such a complex thing that they actually have giant databases on that. And what you have to do is you go to the database, you enter each of the drugs the person that you're concerned about, and then it searches and finds all the possible interactions for you. There's no way on earth I'm going to take up my limited brain capacity trying to memorize 6 million possible interactions.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's all I've got for this segment. I mean, my wife and I are going to make an appointment to come down on May 9th, and we'll probably become patients of yours just based on what we've
learned so far. Joel.
We'd love to have you, sir.
Love to have you come meet us.
All right.
So where are the locations again? You mentioned Tacoma.
Tacoma, Kirkland, and Linwood.
Yeah, and you're in Issaquah, so probably our Kirkland location. Get to see our brand new, beautiful Kirkland location.
I look forward to seeing all of you.
Very good.
Take care, sir.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Joel.
Yeah.
And you too, if you would like to make an appointment for our very special Heart Health at Longevity, again, just like Joel said, that is May 9th. That is a Thursday. Doing that from 9 to 4 so we can quickly get those lab results curried off.
And you have to be on time because this can't wait till the next day.
No.
We have to send it to the lab the same day. The courier leaves by 5. We've got to get your blood drawn and processed and in the courier container before they pick it up.
That's why we're doing it on a Thursday.
That's why it has to be on a weekday, on a work day when we got the couriers.
And you can make your appointment in Kirkland, Tacoma, or Linwood for our Heart Health event May 9th. And yes, do it now. We don't want to fill up and then not have room for you. And you do need an appointment. Here's the number, 866-86-YOUNG. We'll be right back with Elizabeth and Dawn next on Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there.
I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got to hear.
We're all feeling good. Oh, I can't wait till we have the video, just so you can see Dr. Umat. Yeah, jumping up on the table.
Shaking her golden bangles.
I know. Okay, she hasn't jumped up on the table yet.
There's no room on this table.
That's right. We'll make room. Yeah. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We've got a couple calls to get to, doctors. Let's do it. Headed to Bothell. Elizabeth has a question for you. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
You're welcome.
So I'm 53. I'm in perimenopause. Prior to all the COVID shutdowns, was running on the treadmill several times a week. Was working with a personal trainer. All that came to an end. So during the shutdown, started walking. Eventually was walking on a regular basis, about 6 miles, hour and a half.
Good for you.
And then after this, oh, thanks. It felt great. And I kept doing that because I figured, you know, by then I was in my, you know, 50, 51, 52, mm-hmm. figured it would be better for my joints. But then I started to notice, you know, I was starting to gain a little bit of weight around the waist and, mm-hmm. and it was a little achy. So I, you know, started to go back to, you know, working back up on running on the treadmill and it's attending the weight classes. But then I was having just general body aches. Some of my joints, like wrists and things like that, would hurt. And so I started researching, and they were talking about, well, as your estrogen goes down, and cortisol goes up, and you know, and so I know I need to, anytime I do the longer walks, or if I try to run, like, anything like a mile and a half, you know, I have these body reactions. I've listened to you forever. I'm waiting. My husband, unfortunately, part of the current economics got laid off as soon as he knows I'm coming to you guys as soon as I can, because like my primary doctor just dismissed like hormonal replacements, relying on that old study. But I need to keep exercising, but I'm trying to, no one is able, I can't find anything that tells me what kind of exercise or how to exercise at this stage of life where I'm not gaining weight in my belly and my waist, which I've never gained before, and to stay healthy. And I'm just sort of at a loss.
Well, and one of the problems we get, too, there are two types of estrogen receptors, the alpha and the beta receptors. Young women are predominantly alpha receptors, and this lays down fat under the skin, sub-Q, and that's what makes women soft and rounded. But the beta receptors lay down fat on your abdomen. And men primarily have beta receptors. Women primarily have the alphas. But as you go through menopause and your body is starved for estrogen, your alpha receptors start withering up and your beta receptors become dominant. And that's why one of the reasons you start shifting your fat distribution, you start getting a male type fat distribution where it goes on your belly. Now, if we intervene, at least in the animal studies, if we intervene early enough, we can rescue the alpha receptors and shift your dominance back to that so that you let your belly shrink and you get the sub-Q fat instead of the abdominal fat. You know, with men, we don't have that choice. All we've got, we've got some alpha receptors, but darn it, they're causing problems in our prostate is our biggest issue there for us guys. But you may have heard us say before, a young woman doesn't just have estrogen. A young woman has 2.5 to 3 times more testosterone than estrogen in her system. And what will make the single biggest improvement in these body aches and pains you're having is the anabolic hormones, not the estrogen. The estrogen is a potent anti-inflammatory. It decreases inflammation throughout your body, and including your brain. But the anabolic hormones, the dehydroepiandrosterone and testosterone, are the ones that allow you to make lean tissue and heal and maintain your tendons, your ligaments, the structures that are supporting your joints, your muscle mass. All of that comes from the testosterone. And so if we really want to get a woman at your age back into shape so that she can exercise, we don't need just estrogen. We need at least the testosterone, the dehydroepiandrosterone, and the estrogen, and then, of course, some progesterone, because we have to protect you against uterine cancer. Estrogen without progesterone does raise the risk of uterine cancer, so we want to give you both. And then, of course, we also look at your thyroid function.
Right. And, you know, because of the stressors and everything that's happening in her life, her cortisol level is probably also rising, so we have to make sure the cortisol doesn't rise too much.
Yes.
So there's a lot of different metabolic changes. Insulin relationship is very critical at this time. So in terms of if her primary care provider isn't even willing to give her estrogen, I doubt that they'll give her anything else.
Unfortunately.
And so we have to look outside of the box a little bit and say, okay, what can you exercise and what can you take over the counter while you're waiting to get really a more comprehensive approach? Yeah. And for that, maybe resistance training more than aerobic conditioning?
Yes. Yeah. Instead of pounding on the joints, you know, stress them, but don't overstress them.
Right. Start slow and then build up.
Start with planks.
Yeah.
Yoga is quite good for that. It develops joint flexibility and some strength. You know, usually most yoga people get sore at first, but they recover. you know, the I mentioned thyroid.
Yeah.
Most of the time when they're checking your thyroid, they check a test called a TSH, which stands for thyroid stimulating hormone. It's not actually a thyroid hormone. It's a pituitary hormone that controls how hard your thyroid works.
Yeah.
And if your thyroid is high enough, your TSH goes down. If you don't have enough thyroid, your TSH rises to stimulate your thyroid to work harder. The problem is that the, quote, normal range runs from 0.4 to 5.4. And what will usually happen is as we age, our TSH is rising, trying to flog our thyroid into working harder, but it's not working because the thyroid's getting older. And so the thyroid metabolism is slowing down. So you're burning fewer calories. Even if you do the same activity, you burn fewer calories. So we usually give people enough thyroid to drop that TSH down to about one.
Yeah.
We don't want it up at 3 and 4 and 5, even though that's technically normal. If we get it down around one, we get the energy. They think faster. They feel faster. They move faster.
Right. But we're also looking at free T3 and free T4 levels. And we check every 3 months so that we know, you know, where we are in the ballpark. So we're doing a lot of lab testing. But I guess in the interest of time and because she can't get all that, my recommendation to her would be to try a little bit of magnesium over the counter. Okay. It might help with her muscle spasm and her muscle aches and pains. And then also my personal favorite is our relief factor, which you create. Jerry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just helps so much, the combination of ingredients in there with the omega fish oil, curcumin, resveratrol, and icarin. It just helps in providing energy, stamina, decreasing inflammation to the muscles. So that's two simple things she can do over the counter while she's waiting.
And then as soon as your husband gets back and they make him company, the corporation CEO, then you come and see us, okay?
Absolutely.
Anything. Yeah. My God,
that's
killing us.
Yeah. Oh. I know. But, you know, this is Bidenomics, and according to old Joe, everything is great and everybody is happy.
Yeah. Well, how much magnesium would you recommend starting off at?
Between 150 to 200 milligrams. And it can cause loose stool, so, you know, be careful. You can go higher, but if you have a problem, then you may have to drop that.
Usually the limiting factor in magnesium is loose stools because it's not well absorbed. Okay. And a lot of it stays in your gut and it attracts water.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah. And then simple things that you can do at home is watch the diet, make sure you don't eat pro-inflammatory foods and processed foods. So do more that you can make yourself at home. Greens and beans and those kinds of things are anti-inflammatory. Red meat is pro-inflammatory. Charred meat is harmful for you. So just pay attention to simple things and it might help. Diet makes a big difference.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, ma'am.
And hopefully I'll be in soon. Is there any cardio, or do you have any recommendations with respect to cardio,
My recommendation with the cardiac exercise is simply you do as much as you comfortably can without pain.
Okay. Yeah.
Pain is nature's way of saying don't. Listen to Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Right? She never forgets.
Yeah, if you use the supplements, and you might find you can do a little bit more with cardio.
Yep.
Okay. Will do. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you so much. And Don, you know what? You need to call us at the beginning of our show next week so that we can give you as much time as you are needing. And we will do that. We ran out of time today on Leading Edge Medicine. Okay. So thank you for listening. And we'll all be back next week. Except for Dr. Mixon.
Except for me.
So we will have another doctor in the studio. Yeah. And is that Dr. Michael Gilbert?
Dr. Dan Nelson.
Oh, Dr. Dan Nelson.
Yes.
Okay.
And also Dr. Pentland.
Wonderful. Oh, we can have both of them in the studio. And we'll talk more about our heart health at Longevity. That's coming up May 9th, a Thursday, at all three of our clinics in Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. And you can call for your appointment, 866-86-YOUNG. We wish you a wonderful weekend. Enjoy your Easter. And we'll be back next week right here on Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for listening.